all the figures that go with it are in my second book. So if you want a rendition of the second book to get all the pictures that are in that book, it's found on my website, the church's website, and this is chapter 3 on birth pangs from the bottomless pit. I finally have got my mind set on how this thing is going to end up. The problem that I've always had, can you hear me back there? Can you hear me back there? Yeah. I thought you were going to speak in tongues again. If I start fading, wave your hand back there at me, because I my hearing aids are working, and that's quite amazing. Now, it was always difficult for me when I came down to trying to match what the Bible said about the last, just before the great white throne of judgment, and how it all blended together. And so I finally found those old messages, and I've got them now at the house. This was in 2010, and it's chapter 3, Birth Pangs from the Bottomless Pit, extracted from a book written in the late 70s. It's the one called Tribulation Triad. He said, "But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end." Now, if you go over to the seventh trumpet, it doesn't say the time of the end. And there are some things about it that I've had problems with. Not that I didn't believe it, but I could not mesh the two together in such a way that they blended, and I finally understand why. I am losing my mind, incidentally. I just can't remember like I used to. And so I've discovered that, and I'll be talking about that in the future. He says, "Shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end." And he indicates that time will cease when he talks about the seventh trumpet, indicating some things about it ceasing as far as things that pertain to this particular group. Now, God advises us through Daniel that a particular circumstance will occur at the time of the end. What is that? He says the time of the end. Specifically, that many shall run to and fro, and as a result, man's knowledge shall be increased. Well, that's true. Very true. And in another place, it indicates that it will be fantastic what they've learned. And it is fantastic what they've learned. I was called to preach the gospel. I was called to do what God wanted me to do. But God doesn't use all men the same way, and he doesn't treat them the same way. I had one preacher accuse me of thinking I was one of the two witnesses. That's not true. And you say, why in the world would he tell that? Because he asked me when I was in Africa, and he was a missionary Baptist preacher. His dad was a missionary Baptist preacher, and this old boy thought he was really something. Joel Cobb was the pastor of the church, and he's one of the best preachers we ever had. But this old boy, kind of because his dad was a preacher, he had all these plans and they didn't make much sense. When I would run across a person like that, I wouldn't be mad or disingenuous. But if they ask me what I thought of an idea, since they were supposedly God called, and he may have been, that I just tell them. And he had this idea, and here he was in Africa. And Joel Cobb had trained these black preachers to be men that were God called to preach the gospel in Africa. And they did. And they were a very wonderful group of men. And this guy asked me what I thought about just instead of doing the way that it was being done, why didn't we just, he wanted to just be over there and run a great library. He wanted to be the pastor over there, but he wanted to have just a library where all the people could go to this library. And I hope I don't want to get entangled in this because that guy dealt me a lot of trouble. So I told him what I thought of it. And next thing I know, he's telling people, I think I'm one of the two witnesses. Then I knew he wasn't God called. I didn't think he was. And he wanted to just be like a librarian custodian. And he wanted them to come and read the material. And he wanted to, they knew how to speak English because Joel had taught them. And they were wonderful men. And two of them had formerly been cannibals. And he said, Tom, don't say anything about that, because he said, they get so ashamed about it, but they didn't know. They thought it was the thing to do. You say, well, we'd have never, well, I don't know what we'd have done. But he taught them English, and then he taught them about the church. He taught about everything that we teach. And then this guy comes in, and he just wants to have a big library and have new students come in and go to that library and get all their information from the library. This guy would have used books that weren't right. And so I just told him. And from that day forward, well, it was hard to stomach. Now, this is extracted from a book in the late 70s. God advises us through Daniel that a particular circumstance will occur at the time of the end. Specifically, that many shall run to and fro. Well, they have run to and fro. Matter of fact, they've run to and fro across the surface of the earth. And he indicated that in the final time, that there would be a situation where you had men all over that had tremendous knowledge. Listen, I was trained in some pretty highfalutin institutes and in the military. They were called institutes of higher learning. And in the military, I learned history of different things. You say, well, is that what God wanted? Yes, it was. And I couldn't understand this. I couldn't understand it because I just wanted to preach the gospel. I wasn't interested in becoming anybody or anything. So he said, shut up the words and seal the book, even the time of the end. That the time of the end is at the great white throne of judgment. And if you look at it, and look at what happened to the first group and what happened to the second group. There's two different groups of people there. And that's the only way I've ever been able to consolidate how God would use some men to preach the gospel in the church. He would choose some men. Now, I'm not saying you're God called, Robert, but you're not preaching, you're not teaching what you're teaching by accident. You're supposed to do what you do. And you know that because you worry about it. You think, well, you know what, you get embarrassed sometimes, but you think about it. So there's a difference between a calling to preach the gospel and a difference between women teaching young children. Now, what were those children that they were to teach? If you've ever been to Africa, you would know what it is. When Joel Cobb went over there, those people were children. They were just pure children. And he taught them the truth. And they received it. And so women are not called to preach, but women are called to teach young children. Whenever you are in Africa and he went over there for the first time, he realized these are children. And he had to teach them like children because they didn't know zip. And they surrendered. And they were very humble. And they loved me dearly. And so there's lots of things in this work that I've learned. And this running to and fro in knowledge shall be increased. Man, in this century, in his running to and fro across the earth, did, in the 20th century, accrue more knowledge about the earth than he gasped in the thousands of years from man's creation till the beginning of that century. So when I put this out, there's no question in my mind that these black preachers over there were God called. Because Joel taught them just exactly what we're teaching here. And the fact they were black, the man that carried the cross for Jesus was a black man. So I lost my racial prejudice. And I base what I believe on. I believe that God called those men in Africa. And Joel Cobb went over there, and he was a God-called preacher, and he taught them as though they were children. You say, well, he wasn't called to be. He was called to preach the gospel. And that continent is just, they've got more false teachers over there than you can put in a jelly bean jar. And they're over there using this stuff to get people all excited, and then not our preachers, but the others. So, and Joel Cobb's wife left him. And it just broke my heart. But you've got to understand that there are people. If you're going to teach them anything, you've got to teach them like they're children. And when I came to this church and people would join, I had a task of teaching them like children, the ones that needed to grow, and the others knew more than I did, which isn't a big deal. But there's a lot to all this. So I told you that for a reason, and I'm not quite sure what it was, but there it is. Now, let me get this all stepped out here. Can you still hear me back there? Good. Man is running to and free through both across the earth and in space, accrue more knowledge about the earth than he grasped in the thousands of years from Adam's creation until the beginning of that century. Just since I put this out in 2010, since that time, it's doubled again. They're finding out things about the universe that are amazing. And when I was at Arkansas Tech, the teachers would ask me what I thought about something. And I would tell them what I thought about something. They would sit there, and they'd never heard that before. And so we had one teacher over there that was saved. And he was a very reasonable man. He was a very quiet man, an excellent teacher. And we had one over there that would have been saved. But in believing, he knew that if he believed that, then his daddy probably went to hell. And his daddy didn't believe that there was a God. And so his dad and I got along fine. he went on trips with me everywhere. And I spent a lot of time talking to him, but he was convinced there was the Jesus. This is a very complicated life. And I've come to this conclusion. You better learn to run to God continuously. And you better learn that you don't know as much as you think you do. He said, God advises us through Daniel. That's true. Has been allied with seismological data by a worldwide linkage of computer technology to allow man to discover an endless array of facts about the external and internal structure of the earth. You can watch that TV program that actually, and those guys don't know what they're doing. You say, well, how do you know that? Because I was taught in a military installation of higher learning that things that, by knowing them, it enhanced my confidence in God. Because they never taught me anything in all those institutions that didn't back up everything that the Bible said. You say, well, why would God do that to you? He wanted me to know that because it built up my confidence in God. And you say, well, that's a terrible reason to believe. How many preachers in our work went to institutions that taught there was no God? Well, these institutions, listen, it helped me tremendously because everything they taught me, I realized, was an institution of higher learning indeed. And they sent me to special schools and things like that. But every one of them, every single teaching, I didn't just back off from it. I said, let's just try this out. God's has always been. God has always existed. Always. People act like that when in the Old Testament, when it says that Jesus said, I and the Father are one. There was and is and always has been an eternal God. Always. You say, well, who was he? Well, if you look in the very first few words of the first chapter in the Bible, you'll discover what his name was. And you'll also discover that he's eternal. He always has been eternal. Never has been anything else. The idea that God ever came into existence by some strange way and that all of a sudden he... Boom. No. God's always been. He's eternal. And he... When Jesus, when you think of God, and you're in a Missionary Baptist church, and I grew up that way, you think of the eternal God as God Almighty. He is God Almighty. He really honestly is. And he's the pre-existent Christ also. When Jesus was tempted, Jesus said three times, he prayed and said, if this be possible, release it from me. Release me from it. And God just told him no. And Jesus went back three times. And he said, I and the Father are one. And he told those people before Abraham, I am. He's always been. He's always been light. And the eternal God was Jesus himself as part of the Godhead. The eternal God has always been eternal. He never did anything that Jesus wasn't aware of. And Jesus himself was equal to God. And God Almighty performed three works a work of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I believe in a pre-incarnate Christ. I believe in a pre-incarnate Jesus. So that's what I've always believed. And when I came to this church and I met Chuck's dad, I said, he doesn't quite understand it like I do, but he's helping me, and he did help me. And the more I was around him, the more I realized he knows the truth, and he doesn't understand it like I do. But I didn't understand it exactly like he did. But through him, I began to understand it. And through him, I did understand it. We didn't have a whole lot of heart-to-heart conversations, but we talked, and I knew. And there never was any doubt that in my mind that I was God called, and the preacher kept trying to lead me to repent of my sins and trust Jesus. I already had repented of my sins and trusted Jesus, and I was born again. I was saved, and I was called to preach the gospel, and he couldn't understand that. Well, anyway, he thought you had to go down a Roman road, I guess. That's why Papa Mike didn't want me to be baptized there. He didn't join there. He was baptized in a church just like this. And he wanted me to wait until I found one. I found one. And when I did, Imogene and I, we're members of it. And so within the last 30 years, man has more than doubled the factual knowledge of the exterior and interior of the earth. Yet he has barely scratched the outer veneer of the unlimited knowledge of God. Jesus Christ is a part of the Godhead. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is the Godhead. And people want to think of him as how was I supposed to understand all that when I was in this church and I'm listening to all this? How am I supposed to understand that? I knew I was saved. There wasn't any question in my mind about it. I knew I was called to do something, but I didn't quite understand all of it. Now I do. And that's why Chuck's here. That's why his dad was here. And I hope I've helped Chuck some. I don't know if I have or not. But I have learned the truth, and I had a lot of help from his dad and a lot from Chuck, too. He said, the time of the end knowledge has begun to unseal many of the prophecies and to open the shut-up words of the latter-day events. It has. Today, when you look at the tectonic plate structure found in countless numbers of books, you see thousands of miles of lines between tectonic plates, which represent cracks in the earth that weave their way erratically down through the earth, eventually making contact with great underground lakes of red-hot melted rock called magma. So when I went to these institutions of higher learning, that doesn't differ what... When I believed that Christ was the pre-incarnated Christ, the Godhead gave him power, God Almighty, and Jesus are equal. They belong. And he gave him power. What kind of power? He said he had power to resurrect himself. Where would you get a power like that from God Almighty? And so that was what a preacher that was in this church, and I never could get him to understand it. And there was a reason. It's hard to understand. But you all have been coming here a long time, and you put up with an awful lot. You say, well, how many of us are there? You know what happened to those preachers that when the Lord, when they told him they had to drink his blood? What happened to them when they had to drink his blood and eat his flesh? They left him. They left him. That's what happened. So when I presented to the seminary what I believed, they came to me and they said, Tom, listen, we can't print that. I said, well, why not? And they said, because that's not what we teach. And I asked them, what's wrong with it? They said, well, theologically, we can't find anything wrong with it. But this has been taught for a very long time. And they knew it. And as a matter of fact, that's what they teach in the advanced courses down there. But somehow or other, they wouldn't publish it. So I had worked on that thing and worked on that thing, and I thought, Lord, why did you have me go down there? You think I enjoyed sitting there listening to stuff I didn't agree with? And I didn't say a word. I was nice, kind, gentle, and all that stuff. But when they found out that I believed that the first group and that were up there for the Great White Throne Judgment, they were not cast into a lake of fire. They went and were accepted. And so I said, well, I told Imogene, I said, I've worked on this thing for years, and I said, I don't know what God wants me to do. But I said, I don't feel like I'm worthy to preach. And I didn't. I didn't feel like I was worthy to preach the gospel at all. And when I found out that John, the Baptist, felt like he wasn't even worthy to preach the gospel, or to tie his shoes, his sandals, I thought, good grief. Why have I gone through all this? I wasn't questioning God. I was just trying to figure it out. And so finally, I understood it. And I owe a lot to your dad for that. And I owe you some too, Chuck. But I understood it. God wanted me to learn that. I never have believed that God was anything but light. God is light. God is light. He's always been light. You say, well, no, he had to explode himself and go all over the universe and lighten up the whole universe. No, he's always been light. How are you going to tell people that? How are you going to come up here to this church and tell people that? Well, I prayed and prayed and prayed about it. And I got this message from the Lord. He didn't whisper in my ear. He didn't tell me, here's what you need to do, Tom. He just let me do it. I didn't tell them what I believed. I didn't lie to them. When I'd come to the chart, I'd say, and of course the rapture's going to occur right like this. You all remember that, don't you, Ken? And I'd do that to every church I went to. And then the first of the weakers would think, he's the first of the weaker. And the mid-tribbers would think, he's a mid-tribber. I didn't lie to them. You say, well, you tricked. No, I didn't trick them. Because God didn't bother me. And as long as he didn't bother me, I just went right on doing it. He didn't bother me at all. Now, if God bothers me about something, I don't do it. But finally, I went to this church. And here's this guy asking me, what do you think about just having a library and let them go to the library? They were children. They were children. You say, well, why didn't their wives teach them? They beat their wives. Now listen to me. They beat their wives. They beat their wives. You say, well, they're bad. Oh, I don't doubt that. And Joel Cobb didn't either. But the first thing they taught them was why the Lord said you shouldn't beat your wife. You say, well, you mean they believe that? Joel Cobb was called to do what he did. And he did. And his wife left him. You say, well, You think that man was God called? He's gone through a lot more than you and I have, Chuck. And he's gone through it. And I just wanted you to know that there's more to this than I thought. And God's helped me. And you've been part of it, Chuck. But there are some things that when God calls a man to preach the gospel, he said, I want you to know this. And he does some strange things. I had no desire whatsoever I wanted to be a Sunday school teacher because I didn't feel worthy to preach the gospel. I just didn't feel worthy. And I wasn't worthy. But God had to teach me that I'm spiritually weak. And I am spiritually weak. But God has all power in heaven and earth. And Jesus and God are equal. Jesus resurrected himself because he had the power of God to do it. So there are some things about all this that, you know, as I went along, I just said, well, and if he didn't bother me, and believe me, he does bother. He bothers me now. If I start to go off on a tangent somewhere, he bothers me. He bothers me. And I've had some good friends in the ministry. I had one young man come to me, and he asked me for some advice. And he was a preacher at the seminary. And he said, well, what do you think I ought to do about preaching the gospel? I said, I think you ought to preach it. And he said, well, he never told me what he believed. I asked him, he'd give the right answer. But, you know, that young man went up to Washington. And I helped him in school. I didn't know he was gay. I didn't know that. And everybody in school liked him. The teachers liked him. So he went up there and they caught him. And he was, what do you call it? I can't think of the name of it when they're gay and they they attack children. I can't think of the name of it. Pedophile. I didn't know that. And so you're looking at a man that's been down the road and has learned a lot. I learned a lot by experience, and I learned a lot from Chuck's dad, and I learned a lot from him. I am a God called preacher. No question in my mind. But I'm telling you these things because God taught me these things. And if it hadn't been for other preachers that were God called, that's the way God works. And I have never believed that you should go over there and teach blacks from a library of books. You have to teach them like children. And they don't know anything. You say, well, how do you know they'll receive it? Because that's what God called him to do. And that's why I admired Joel Cobb so much. His wife was something else. I will give her credit for this. She was molested when she was young. And she never could take all this. If you're a God-called preacher, you got to go through a bunch of stuff. And when you go through it, you got to be willing to keep learning about yourself and about God. If you come to a hard, fixed position on something, fine. But later on, don't be embarrassed if you have to admit you're wrong. Anyway, my goodness, it's getting close time to preach. And they all liked me very much. I wasn't hard to get along with, but they knew I was a preacher. You say, well, what good was that? You think I didn't know they were going to ask me some questions? You think they were just drawn by my attractive face and personality? No. God meant for them to. And I told them. I told them flat out about Jesus. And I taught them like they were children. One of them got saved. The other one knew if he accepted Christ, he'd have to admit to himself that his father went to hell. And his father was a he had a good personality, but there's a whole lot to this. Do you know why I think I probably love God more than you do? Because he's been working on me and teaching me all this time. And you're not here by accident. And your dad wasn't here by accident. You didn't come down here by accident either, Chuck. And you didn't come up here by accident. You got called to preach the gospel. But if you're going to preach it, you better be able to talk to people about it. And you better not be ashamed. I wasn't going to tell these teachers over there, so take you gotta do this. They didn't even understand. They wouldn't have understood what I was talking about. But I told them, flat out. When I came to this church, I had some people in this church that if I'd told them what I really believed, I wouldn't be here now. You think I can't say the name, but you think they would have let me stay here? If what I just told you about a pre-incarnate Christ, you believe they'd let me stay? They wouldn't have let me stay here. They'd have run me off. You say, well, were you afraid of being run off? I was afraid that they would run me off because God sent me up here to preach the gospel. And that's what I've been doing, and that's what I'm still doing. And if you think you came up here by accident, you didn't. You're here because God wants you here. You're not a God-called preacher. Of course, if you ever surrender, I won't argue with you. I'll just send you over and I'll say, Chuck will tell you about it. Because this is something that people just don't realize. You say, well, I bet you don't realize a lot. Amen. But how am I ever going to learn if I don't keep studying to show myself approved unto God? Well, it's 7:30. And in his running to and fro has now gained the increase in knowledge to understand how earthquakes and volcanoes are produced by God's creation. God's always been light. He's always been light. You know what the gap theory is? That all of a sudden, God, if he exists, they think, if he exists, that he just kind of exploded himself out into the universe. And there he was, light for the first time. No, God's always, always, always been light. You say, well, what is all that destruction in there? The devil exists. My brother doesn't think there is a devil. But he's very much alive. He rebelled against God. And when he rebelled against God, he took God's creation and corrupted it. He corrupted God's creation. That's the way it is. Most people teach that that Jesus is not God Almighty. He is the Son of God Almighty. And so when it came time for Mary to conceive the babe of his child, God, in all his fullness, conceived his son, put his son in the womb of the Virgin Mary. You say, why didn't we hear a lot about Joseph after that? You ever wonder about that? Why did Joseph mysteriously just kind of vanish off the scene? Why don't you hear a long account about Joseph? There's a lot of reasons. But the truth is, put your faith in Christ as being equal to God. That's it. And that's what I've done. And that's what I've learned. I learned part of that from your dad. I learned part of it from you. I don't have my faith in anybody except Christ. Well, man was going to discover more than 1,900 years later. The prophecy and knowledge shall be increased was fulfilled in the last century. The Holy Spirit, who inspired these words of Daniel and the other prophets, will use his prior creation, the earth, to fulfill. Well, well, I'm finished. I'll try to finish this one.